This morning's reading is taken from Luke chapter 10 and verses 1 to 12. And it's headed, Jesus sends out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there, and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near.' I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town." And Father, as we come to consider through David what you are about to say to us, I pray that you will bless him, Lord, that the message of peace that he brings will be applicable to all of us, Lord, and we will all learn something from it. And Lord, we remember too on this Mother's Day that everybody in this room had a mother. And we just pray for good relationships with mothers. We are not all the best mothers, Lord. We have all made mistakes. We acknowledge that before you. But Lord, I just pray that where there has been disappointment in relationships, that you would heal that, that many mothers today would have the joy of seeing their own children acknowledge that they love them and that they are loved. And Lord, that's the best thing we mothers can give our children, is that unconditional love, that even though in many ways they maybe disappoint us, maybe challenge us, maybe give us joy, Lord, it's a mixture of all of those. All of us who've had children know that. But we just pray, Lord, for your peace to rest on every household here. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Anne, and welcome everyone and those watching online. We, as Olivia said right at the start, have been in a series called In the Footsteps of Jesus, thinking about what does it mean to follow Jesus. And we've been looking at our life with God, our life with others, and today and for the next few weeks, I want to think about our life with purpose. Now, it's Mother's Day, and all across the world, sometimes on different dates, but people love to honor mothers. We honor mums today because so often they instinctively get this fact that life is not about living for yourself, but about living for the sake of others. They want what's best for someone else, even if it's costly for them. They want to protect and bless their children. You know, today I want to honor my mum. Might be watching online. And just so thankful for the many sacrifices she's made. But as Amanda was saying, sometimes it's not just our biological mums who have been like mother figures in our lives. I think for many of us here in this church, we'd say that Margaret was like a mother figure to many of us. And, you know, as I've been thinking about her life and the impact of it, I see Just like I saw in Roger that channel of peace, I saw in Margaret someone whose life was about reaching out to others and being a channel of peace. You know, on this Mother's Day, I found myself, as I was thinking about it, remembering Margaret's big, big heart for mums and their toddlers. So she would have loved the dedication this morning. In fact, she, for 28 years, served in a ministry in this church, which initially was called Mums and Toddlers. It then became Parents and Toddlers. And actually, it now still, in a different kind of form, is called Fledglings. And we have a ministry helping those with small kids. And Margaret's life, and Graham, yours too, touched many through that ministry. And I got in touch this week with Diane Lyons. Many of you will know her. She actually... was really willing and excited about sharing her story, and she's given me a bit of her story that I just wanted to read as I start. She says this: in 1987, a friend and I saw a sign outside Holland Road telling us about a mums and toddlers group on a Wednesday afternoon. We both had babies about a year old and thought we would give it a try. I was not looking for Jesus or religion or faith. And to be honest, when we started singing Jesus' Love is Very Wonderful, I was practically squirming in my seat. Margaret was so friendly and welcoming and became a friend and mother figure to everyone who came through the door, and often prayed for parents who were unwell or having a hard time. Those songs that had made me squirm because became an absolute joy to me. We always had a big welcome every week, and she never forgot anyone's name, and everyone who came to Mums and Todd's knew there was something very special about that place. Margaret spoke openly about her love of Jesus and his love for each and every one of us. Secretly, I wanted what Margaret had. A strong love for Jesus, a strong faith foundation, because for years I'd been struggling with depression. And when Sam started school, and my kind of half-lived journey came to an end, so she stopped coming to Mums and Toddlers. Until, she writes and underlines it in capital letters, until my granddaughter started coming, Robin came along, and I came back to Mums and Toddlers many years later. And it was amazing, and just like coming home. And Margaret put her arms around me and said, "Diane, you're back." And on December the 6th, 1996, I found myself sitting in my car, waiting, wanting, desperately wanting to sit inside the church and desperately wanting to know about this healing, loving Jesus that Margaret had told us about. The church was locked. But I knocked on the door, and an elderly gentleman opened the door and let me in, and that day my journey really started with Jesus. "Thank you, God, for Jesus, and thank you, Lord, for Margaret," writes Diane, "for her loving kindness and love for a sinner like me." In Psalm 91, verse 4, it says, "Under his wings you will find refuge." Mums and Todd's was everyone's refuge. Every Wednesday afternoon, Jesus was there every week, just like Margaret was. You just felt him everywhere, and in Margaret's smile and hugs, they were heaven sent for sure. Thank you, Diane. Thank you for many like Margaret who are so inspiring in this church. You see, because Margaret lived life with a purpose. Any of us who knew her knew she lived life with a purpose. Her heart was reaching out to others. And I want to ask you this morning, do you live life with a sense of purpose? And if you do, I wonder how that purpose is going, or whether you think you've got the right purpose. You know, sometimes we think our purpose is just something kind of for us, but I want to say this morning, I believe God has a purpose for you. And I wonder whether you've ever considered that God's purpose for you might be the best purpose for your life. So what might that be? Well, I believe that part of it is what we're thinking about today, about being channels of peace to others. that our lives would bring something of peace and the good news and the presence of God to the people around us, just as Margaret's life brought it to Diane. You know, peace in the Bible is a big word. It's shalom. It means kind of wholeness or well-being. You know, we live in a society where people love to think about our kind of well-being and how important it is. And often we talk about the lack of well-being and how much we need it. But you know, the peace of God is about restoring our well-being in every sense. You know, someone once described it like this. I found this really helpful, as life being healed in all directions. The peace of God is like life being healed in all directions, emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually. You know, it's what we long for as parents for our children, that they would have help. And so often we're trying to minister to them in one of those ways or others. So particularly today, I want to think about living our lives with purpose, with that purpose of being channels of peace. I want to ask you this morning, do you know anyone who is in need of peace around you? Maybe even today, you can't get beyond the fact that you need peace. You know, maybe you would love more of God's peace in your life. You know, as I've been preparing this, I've just been praying, God, I need your peace and I want to be a channel of your peace. Well, I want to start today with something that's been helping me this week, something that could help you and I, not just in our purpose, but with our peace. And it's this, it's prayer. There is power in prayer. You know, this passage starts with Jesus saying in Luke 10, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He's about to send them out, but he first says this in verse 2. He told them, the harvest is plentiful and the workers or the laborers are few. The harvest is the people who need to know the presence and the peace of God, and the laborers are those who are bringing that peace and that presence of God to others. And this is what Jesus says to pray. He says, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. You know, I've found sometimes when I think about all the needs in the world or even just around me, it can feel overwhelming. You know, and that need of not just peace in my own life, but peace for others. And so sometimes I can feel overwhelmed and that robs me of peace. Other times I can feel like I'm very poor at being a channel of God's peace and that makes me discouraged. And if I ever feel like I'm doing well at it, then there's a danger of pride. And all of those rob me of peace. But you know, when I remember that it's not all about me, that there is a Lord of the harvest, there is one who I can look up to. There is a God who we can say, Lord, you care about people more than I do. You love each one. You are the Lord of the harvest. Lord, I want to bring to you the needs I see within me and around me. When we look up to the Lord, I find that faith rises. And I remember, just as we were singing, that he is a God who can and who cares. He is one who in himself is peace and is able to bring peace to others. And so when I pray, when I look up, when I ask him, I regain perspective and I regain peace. There is power in prayer. I encourage you. Maybe you've tried praying before. Maybe you've never tried it. I would encourage you, try praying. Look up to God. Say, God, if you're there, would you give me your peace? And would you help me then to join you in bringing that peace to others? And interestingly, his prayer is not even just that for himself. It's actually, Jesus says, pray. And he says, ask or beg. It's got a kind of like childlike pleading with your parents. You know, when you are less able, less powerful, less knowledgeable, have less kind of resources than your mom or dad when you were younger, you kind of say, please, 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 can I have this or do this? And they, with more knowledge, more wisdom, more power, more influence, they answer. Sometimes they say yes. Sometimes they say no. Sometimes they say wait, which is the same with God. But this is a prayer God loves to answer. It's a prayer particularly for God to raise up. That's our vision as a church, that we want to be raising the next generation, that God would raise up laborers or workers in the harvest field, that he would raise up people of peace to go out and bring his peace into a needy, hurting world. And prayer is the vital kind of part, a way to press into that. You know, it's wonderful, the prayers of parents for their kids and the impact that can have. I know that many mums here, you pray regularly for your kids. I want to thank God for the prayers of my mum. And I read this week a letter from Charles Spurgeon, whose son was one of the first pastors here in this church. And this is a letter he wrote to his mum, or just a bit of it. He says, my dear mother, many very happy returns on your birthday. It was her birthday, and it was just before his baptism. Many very happy returns of your birthday. In this instance, my wish will certainly be realized, for in heaven, you are sure to have an eternity of happy days. And I found myself thinking about Margaret and Roger, thinking that's what they have, an eternity of happy days. I just love that phrase. And he says to his mom, may you in your coming year live beneath the sweet smiles of the God of peace. And I thought, for us here today, that's what I long for you. That's what I long for Alexander and Joshua, that they in their life would live beneath the sweet smiles of God's peace. That's what I long for my neighbors and friends. And he goes on and says this about his mom: if I have any courage, if I feel prepared to follow my Savior, not only into the water — he means the water of baptism — but should he call me even into the fire, even into difficult, costly callings, I love you as the preacher to my heart, he says to his mom, of such courage as my praying, watching mother. The power of prayer. You know, as we want to live our lives with purpose, I would encourage you, start in living life with prayer. There is power in prayer. But then as we pray that God will help us to join him in his purpose — he's the God who's got a heart for all those around us — I want to say this lastly and briefly: there is power in purpose. I don't know if you ever think, what on earth am I here for? Well, I want to say this: you are here not just for you. The world around us bombards us with messages that life is about living for yourself, but that is not your purpose. That is not where we come alive. That is not where we get a sense of this is what I was made for. The Bible says time and again that God calls us and has a purpose for our life that is not all about us, but he calls us time and again with others in mind. His calling and purpose for his disciples wasn't just for them, but was with, again, others in mind. We saw this at the beginning of this series, at the start of the year. We were looking at when Jesus called some fishermen. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 17, he kind of says, come follow me, he says, and I will send you out, he says. He's going to kind of send them out. And at the end of the Bible, at the end of John's gospel, at the end of the gospels, the risen Jesus, after his death and resurrection, he appears to the disciples again, and he says this: peace be with you. Wonderful. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, Jesus says, I am sending you. God wants us to move towards others with his love and his peace. You know, he wants them to be part of the answer to their prayers. Yes, pray that God would raise up laborers into the harvest field, but then listen to his voice, because in verse 3 he says, look, go, I am sending you. Often we feel vulnerable. He says, look, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves, you know, but God is going to use these lambs powerfully among the wolves. God's used these men who were men and women who were sent out, and they've been changing the world. So many nations and people who've been touched by the love of Christ all across our world. And they're going to touch people because they were really intentional and single-minded about their purpose. Verse 4 is a kind of strange verse. It says this: do not take a purse or bag or sandals. Sandals would seem useful, but there's a kind of like, just go for it. Don't like spend loads of time thinking about what you're going to pack. It's like, this is important. And then he says, and do not greet anyone on the road, which again, for me who loves to chat to people, feels like, okay, what's that about? But actually, it's about this purposefulness. There are people that I've got prepared, like God's saying, I want you to go and speak to. And there's a single-mindedness to that. And so it says in verse 5, and this is kind of echoed in verse 8 and verse 10, it says, then when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. Anne, I loved your prayer. It's like to every household represented here, peace be to your house. You know, there's this movement of peace as he enters these people who represent Christ and his work, ascent. They're to bring and be channels of God's peace, his shalom, his kind of wholeness, healing their life in every direction. I don't know if you've kind of go into different people's homes and houses, and sometimes we can feel a bit embarrassed about that, can't we? Because sometimes our home is not kind of, you know, all perfect, and we have a fair bit of clutter around our house. And we actually sometimes find it quite cathartic to watch a program called Sort Your Life Out, where a team, any watchers of Sort Your Life Out here? Okay, that's good. There's a few. It's quite cathartic because there are some very messy homes in our whole nation. And this team of about four people go in for a week, and they help kind of take these piles of mess in people's homes, and you know, they clear it all out into a big warehouse, and they say, look, you need to sell a lot of this stuff. You need to donate it. You need to just get rid of it, and then we're going to redo your home while you're sorting out your stuff, and we will then move you back, and your house will be a house not of kind of stress and kind of chaos, but they move back in and it's a place of peace. And I love the fact these four people, they kind of go in as a team. And I was thinking about these people who are sent out two by two with Jesus, and they're joining Jesus in his work. They're going as a team, but you know, they're doing something more wonderful as they enter these homes than just dealing with the piles of stuff. Because you know, in my life and in our lives, I think what happens is it's not necessarily just the piles of stuff that can be there, but we get these kind of piles of fears and anxieties. And Jesus comes in and he says, look, I want to help you clear that out. We get these piles of guilt and shame. And he says, look, I want to come and bring my peace, my grace, my mercy. We get these piles of stress, of places where we feel like we failed. And he comes and says, look, I want to minister into this situation. He wants to not just enter our homes. He wants to come into our lives and bring the peace, the healing in every direction, dealing with the bitterness or the hurts that we can hold on to and say, look, I want to come and help you. That is what Jesus sends these laborers out to do, to be messengers of his peace, to say, peace be upon you. And as they go into these situations, he tells them kind of stay, look, in that house, eating and drinking, whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Don't move around. And he kind of says, look, if a person of peace is there who welcomes this peace, then amazingly, it says in verse 6, then the peace, your peace, will rest upon them. It's like God is able to transform not just these homes, but these lives that the homes are in. He wants to deal with the rubbish in my life and your life and bring his peace. And that is amazingly good news. You know, I found these kind of five simple points really helpful as you look into this passage about just how we kind of keep trying to live life with purpose. We've talked about the first one about praying. You know, pray for opportunities, then go, you know, trust God to go where he leads you, with the neighbors, friends, family, to say, look, I want to just, God, to be led of you, to be a channel of your peace. Find, keep your eyes open and your ears open. Where are there places where God's peace is needed? What are those? Are they anxieties or fears or failure? And allow people to know God is so for them. Just as he's for you and me, he's so for them. If you're here today and you don't know that, God is for you. He wants to help you. He wants to come and bring his peace. And then stay, get to know people, share food and your lives. I know many of you are kind of involved in your workplaces or your neighborhoods, and you're having an impact, just as Margaret had on her street and in her community, and Roger did as well. And then this last thing here, share. Look what happens, it says in verse 8 and 9. He says, look, when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. And then he says, verse 9, heal the sick that are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. They're to share God's love and God's presence in word and deed. They say, look, God is near. The kingdom of God is near. Do you know that? God is nearer than you think. He's nearer to your neighbors than you think, nearer to your family than they think. God is near and he's come to help us. He's helped us physically. And that's why the church, we love to help people physically. We love to, you know, at the moment, one of the things we do is we help those in need through our CAP Center and emergency food bank. But over the years and the centuries, you know, churches and Christians have set up hospitals and mission stations and schools and feeding projects. And we as God's people, we want to help meet people's needs because that's what Jesus has got a heart for. But also we're here to declare. We're not just doing something. We declare a message. It's not just a message that kind of just needs explaining. There is an explaining of the good news that's needed, but we're also announcers. God is here. Jesus is real. He loves you. He's alive. You know, we're to proclaim and announce that Jesus has come to help people, that you can receive forgiveness. We all need it. That you can receive peace. We all need it. That you can receive grace and mercy that we all need. And you need to know that Jesus, the one who brings these things, is the King. That's why the kingdom of God is near. And so to really receive these things, you have to trust him. You have to say, here's my life. I turn to you. I believe in you. You know when these team go in to the homes to sort them out, sort your life out. They don't leave and say, oh, don't touch anything. I don't want to come back and find anything changed. The whole point is that it needs change. The whole point is that they know these people have come to help them to sort their life out, to help bring peace where there wasn't peace. And in the same way, you and I, when we come to Jesus, when we recognize the kingdom of God is near, the King is near, you and I have to say, King Jesus, have your way. I turn, I believe in you. I believe you were here to help me, like Diane discovered as she watched Margaret, no longer squirming when she heard Jesus' love is very wonderful being sung, but thinking, yes, Jesus' love is very wonderful. I want what Margaret's got. I want Jesus and his peace in my life and heart. And so today, I want to say the kingdom of God is near. You know, our passage goes on and it talks about how some welcome that, but Jesus is very real with his disciples. He tells them, anticipate that there'll be some who reject it. And it's hard because we think this is such good news to reject the one who's come to help us and give us peace, and yet people do. But I want to urge you today, even as you anticipate that that might be how it's received, to not, if you're here today, hold God at a distance, but to say, please, I need your peace. Please come into my life. I want your salvation. I want your rescue. You know, the stakes are high. I find when we remember we have to trust people into God's hands when they die, we remember that there is an eternity. And this passage actually ends with the warning of judgment. Jesus hasn't come to judge. He came to save, but he will come to judge. And we need to hear his coming as a babe of Bethlehem, coming to the cross to die for my sin and yours, to take the judgment that we deserve, rising again and coming to his disciples in fear and saying to them, peace be with you, and telling them to go with this message of peace, that if we turn, then there's forgiveness of sins and there's peace with God and eternal life in Jesus' name. That is the message that is spreading across the world. And even today, if you want what's best for your children, help them see that the kingdom of God is near. Pray and seek that they will know that healing of life in all directions. If you want what's best for your parents, pray and seek God that they would know that the kingdom of God is near. If you want what's best for your friends and neighbors, even for yourself, if you want that peace today, then know the kingdom of God is near. And Jesus wants to help you and give you his peace as we turn to him and believe in him. He can bring healing in every direction of our lives. So I want to pause and invite you to, just in the stillness, to turn to Jesus, to welcome him in like Diane did and receive his peace. And then I'm going to pray a famous prayer often attributed to St. Francis of Assisi about us being instruments or channels of peace to others. And if you feel able, do echo that with me. But first, let's just be still. The kingdom of God is near. The King, the Lord Jesus, is here. And he wants to help you. You might just want to say in your hearts, Lord, I'm sorry for where I ignore you and keep you at a distance. I want to welcome you in. Jesus, I need your peace, your mercy, your help. King Jesus, have your way in my life. And help me be a channel of your peace. And so if you feel able, why don't you stand with me? And there's a prayer on the screen here. Very famous prayer. Maybe we could say this together if you feel able. It's a prayer, and then we're going to respond in worship. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.